completing 336 over to Peoria, I'm certain is a priority. I know that Amtrak service is certainly a priority, and but we really we'll work with the community and on their priorities for roads and bridges. I know that the Macomb bypass is something that is one of the highest priorities, and I've talked to Tom Oakley, one of the leaders in transportation in Western Illinois, about that project, and I've committed to him that we'll try and be helpful in working with the governor and the local community on the Macomb bypass.
There are a lot of people who might differ with your statement that this is no longer for Gatonia. What would you say to them? They have no rail service to
well,
St. Louis.
When I was a congressional staffer back in 1977 through 1982, it was impossible to get to this part of the state because there just were no good roads. That's not true today. The Chicago to Kansas City road, the four-lane road, thanks to the leadership of so many in this region, is a reality. The idea that you have good train service that delivers hundreds of students to Western Illinois University is a reality. And there's a lot of good transportation. And also, I believe that students now really look at Western Illinois University as a place to get a good education where you can come from Chicago or St. Louis or Peoria or the Quad Cities, and you can drive it. You can drive on good roads, or you can take a train and ride on a comfortable train. And this area has really, I think, remade itself thanks to very strong leadership. There will not be another day when this area will be known as Fort Gatonia.
Can you talk about why you're in support of a federal no cell phones in cars ban?
Well, I think that when you look at the statistics and you look at the way that you drive down fatalities and injuries, and we know that 3,000 people were killed as a result of distracted driving last year, and the way to correct that is the same way that we corrected drunk driving, the same way that we now have 86% of the people buckling up. Good laws and good enforcement. The way we've gotten so many drunk drivers off the road is through good laws and good enforcement, enforcing 0.08. The way that we've gotten people, 86% of the people to buckle up is because of good laws and good enforcement. And the way that we will persuade people to get cell phones out of their ears and texting devices out of their hands is through good laws and good enforcement and people taking personal responsibility.
Last week you mentioned something about you would like to see a federal law to that effect. Have you backed off that, or do you think that should be done at the state level perhaps?
I think that when we started this campaign, 18 states had passed laws. We've doubled that. There are now more than doubled it. There are now 38 states. We're going to continue to work with states that want to pass good laws. We think that's a good solution. But a national law has also proven in the instance of drunk driving and the instance of seatbelt use that can be effective too. And so we're going to work with Congress on legislation that can have the same impact.
For people who think that helmet laws and seatbelt laws infringe on their personal rights and their personal decision-making skills,
We've gotten way beyond that when it comes to seatbelts. 86% of the people buckle up. We're prohibited at the federal level for getting involved in helmet laws. That's up to states to decide that.
High-speed rail, of course, has been an issue of which you've been very much a proponent over the years, as is Mr. Carper with the National Amtrak Board. Obviously, at this point, there are some areas like the Northeast Corridor where 110, maybe 150 miles an hour, depending on the track and such things. But do you see a bright future for high-speed rail, or is that maybe a generation off yet?
I see a bright future. In the last 3.5 years, we've invested $10 billion in high-speed rail. $2 billion of that's been over $2 billion has been invested right here in Illinois, thanks to the leadership of Governor Quinn. Over $3 billion has been invested in California, thanks to the leadership of Governor Schwarzenegger and Governor Brown. And we've invested millions of dollars in the Northeast Corridor, thanks to the leadership of governors all up and down that corridor. Our partners in high-speed rail are the governors, and we've had great leadership in Illinois when it comes to Amtrak. I see a bright future for Amtrak. Our goal is to connect 80% of the country over the next 25 years with good passenger rail.
Do you think Amtrak will have to, at some point, have more control of the rail lines? That most of the Amtrak lines now, of course, have to use freights, which means they fall from the siding. Do you think Amtrak would have to, at some point, get dedicated lines to make high-speed rail a reality, though?
Well, look, we can't afford to build all new infrastructure around the country. That's why we've entered into agreements, in the case of Illinois, with UP. That's why we've negotiated agreements with every freight rail company when it comes to passenger rail. Those are good agreements. We know that freight rail is a great system, but we also know that we have to have partnerships with our friends in freight rail in order to get passenger rail in some parts of the country, because building new rail is very expensive. So in California, they're going to build new infrastructure. But in states like Illinois and in states all up and down the Northeast Corridor, we have these agreements with our friends in the freight rail system, which we have with UP in Illinois.
Got time for one more question.
The expenses, the finances of the Senate bill right now, how much difference is there from the status quo with the Senate bill?
Well, look, the Senate bill is a good bill. It's a bipartisan bill. It's a bill that passed with 74 votes in the Senate. It's a two-year bill at $109 billion paid for. We believe that now the conference committee, since the House loaded up its bill with Keystone Pipeline and coal ash and things that have nothing to do with transportation, the conference committee of House members and Senate members should take the Senate bill and pass it as the conference report. The president will sign that. Leave out Keystone Pipeline, leave out coal ash, leave intact the Senate bill, a bipartisan paid-for bill, and we begin to move the country forward. And we give certainty to transportation. And we know that communities like Macomb know that there's a transportation program that could begin to help fund the Macomb bypass if that bill passes.
I just didn't know whether a little bit from what the standard is right now on this, the transportation bill. Is it a little bit of a bump in funding, or is it pretty well level?
Yeah, the Senate bill is pretty well. There's an increase in some programs, but, obviously the fact it's a two-year bill, they had to find the money, and what they could find was $109 billion. That's the reason it ended up being a two-year bill. It's a little more than the status quo.
I guess we're